On today's Restump podcast, we'll discuss the trade activity that occurred today. We lost a winger and a forward. Tough times for the Freo faithful, or at least some of them. Anyway, we'll get the Chiefs' point of view on it, see how good or bad it is, right after we start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who's hated Collingwood ever since he was a kid. Is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Did not. Lucky Schultz might have, but I didn't.
Did you see that? I think Lucky Reed put it up on Twitter. It's quite funny.
I was wondering. Why would you say
you
that?
You should never say you hate anyone if you're a professional sportsman, because you could end up playing there next week.
That's right. Why would you say that now anyway?
Hey?
Why would you say that now if you're Lucky Schultz?
Well, I think it's old footage, wasn't it?
Was it old footage, was it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And you saw, yeah.
I imagine it would have been like before the final last year, last season before, something like that, wouldn't it? Before a big game against Collingwood, something like that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Big day, big reaction.
That's quite a day. Quite a day. In Wolsey world.
It is quite weird for Freo, I must say. Two guys. You know, Schultz obviously is still under contract, and Liam Henry, you know, dealing with a former coach in Ross Lyon, and a guy that, I don't know, you think has a higher opinion of Liam Henry than most, because he bid on him at the year he was drafted. Mm. We get two deals done with like relatively little fuss.
Yeah.
It feels something like something's up. Like that doesn't feel quite right, does it?
No, something's cooking. Because why would you not stretch them out?
Well, that's what everyone does. I mean, unless we're being like Mr. Nice Guy. To what end?
I don't know. Yeah. So there's got to be a reason for doing that.
But then usually if there was something in the pipeline, you would hear murmurings, right?
Yeah, but we didn't know. We didn't hear about Lucky Schultz in the pipeline.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But time's running out. It's Tuesday tomorrow, and the trade period closes on Wednesday. So, if anything is happening, it's going to have to happen pretty swiftly.
Do you think something's happening?
This trade period?
Yeah.
I don't know. The stockpiling of future first-round picks for next year, like quite obviously, they've got something they want to go after next year.
Yeah.
Logan McDonald gets mentioned nonstop at the moment, but you know, whether it's him or someone else, like there obviously is a plan for something to happen next year, either that or they're just super keen on the 2024 draft. But I'd tend to lean towards the idea that there's something in the pipeline, something's bubbling away.
Yeah.
For next year's trade period.
Oh, for next year's, right? Okay. So
yeah, I don't know. Like, I know I just said it feels like something's going to happen in the next couple of days because they rushed it through, but it's hard to imagine what.
Well, could they go after Logan McDonald this year?
Yeah, but Sydney don't have to let him go. And if they let him go, they're a bit light on up forward, aren't they? I mean, you're putting yourselves in the Sam Reid's hands or Hayden McLean.
Yeah.
Joel Amati. I suppose they've got a few.
But, I mean, if they know they're going to lose him next year, why not just go, okay, let's roll with Amati or, you know, one of them and get development into them?
Yeah, it's a good question. Mm. Yeah, and maybe that's like why you did that. Maybe that's why they do the deal. So they said, we've got the assets, we've got everything here ready to roll. Mm. Like, do you want to do it? But then you think, like, well, what's the benefit for Sydney? Like, those picks will be there next year and you can get another season out of a key forward that's probably going to help you.
That's right. I mean,
they're not in the same position as us. To a point like that, what they play in a grand final two seasons ago and scraped into the finals last year. Yep. They'd be hoping to kind of push on. They brought in Taylor Adams, Brody Grundy.
Hmm.
They're obviously making a push.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're not really wanting to lose a key forward from the mix for a bunch of draft picks. Like, when's the last time you saw pick 17, 18 and 19 line up at full forward and kick your five?
Yeah, that's right. No. Okay.
I don't know. It does kind of boggle the mind a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And I guess the thing is, would we get him, is he out of contract next year?
Yeah, he is.
So we're getting cheaper next year than we would this year.
Well, he's like same situation as Liam Henry almost. He's uncontracted. He's not a free agent.
Yeah.
So
you're still going to get him probably cheaper then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, as much as I would like Logan McDonald to it's more to compliment the two guys we already have.
Yeah.
To be fair. I'm not on Logan McDonald Hill.
No, I'm a fan of Logan McDonald. I think he's going to be something pretty decent, pretty good. But I'm a bit your way. If we didn't get him and we were looking at someone else,
that'd be fine.
Comfortable with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
who do you want to talk about first? Lucky Schultz, Liam Henry?
I think go Liam Henry first. I think that was the first one done, wasn't it? Or was it Lucky Schultz done?
I think Schultz was done first. Oh. That's all right. So, future second-round pick from St Kilda, and then a weird exchange of fourth-round picks.
What is that? Why would they do that?
I don't know. It is weird, isn't it? Because, I mean, at that level, what is that? Like, so pick seven in the 70s?
Was it like a personal bet of who's going to finish behind the other one or something?
No, but also, at that level in the draft, what odds are there that the two teams are looking at the same guy?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that was very, very odd. I don't know there's not even any, you can't even come up with a reason why they would add that in. That's just weird. So.
Fair value, not fair value, hoping for more.
Yeah, I thought we got unders. But what's a future second rounder with St Kilda? It's going to be, what, 28, round 28, you imagine? 28, 30, somewhere around there.
Yeah, if you think, I don't know, if you think St Kilda are going to be decent, it'd be in the 30s. If you think they're going to be, average, it could be in the 20s.
Yeah.
I probably underestimate them or every year. I always think they're going to be bog average, but they always kind of end up turning up somehow. But I still think they're probably going to be average next year.
I think they'll be more average next year than they were this year. I reckon.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. I just got a feeling that they might drop a little bit. I don't really know what I'm basing that on, but it's just a gut feel. But, yeah, I think we got unders, but you're not going to win every trade, Jojo. You know? And where was Hawthorn, by the way? Where was their, you know, their recipient?
Well, he didn't want to go there. Liam didn't want to go there.
No, I know, but Tyler Brockman didn't want to come to us. We still threw in a silly offer to try and give us some leverage.
Well, they didn't do much for Hawthorn. What'd they get? Like, pick 30-something, and well, they got nothing for him.
They got two, didn't they? Two picks?
Yeah, but one was decent, one's useless.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of difference there, Henry and...
big time.
Yeah. No, I think we got unders, but I'm understanding of the situation. You're not going to win every trade.
But it's not like it's a closed market either. I mean, if it was that ridiculous that Liam Henry was going for a future second, I'm sure word gets out around wherever the hell they're doing trade with.
That's right.
And if it was that kind of abhorrent that, you know, that we're letting him go for that, someone comes over the top and says, mate, we'll give you a future first for him if that's all it costs.
Yep.
You're like, that didn't happen.
No.
There was-
so it sort of tells you the market, doesn't it?
Well, and for wingers in general, really. Doesn't it? I mean,
actually, we covered this in the last one, didn't we? About the wings.
They copped it for Blake Akers last year. He could only fetch a future third.
Yep.
They're copying it right now for Liam Henry. The other thing about Liam Henry is, you think back 2-3 months ago, half the fan base didn't want him playing. Half the fan base apparently didn't care if he left. So now all of a sudden we care if we get a future second or, you know, if we're 10 picks further back than what you'd rather in the draft.
Do you know what I did today? I got the decibel meter out, JoJo. Took some readings. And the noise today from Freo fans shouting the club gave him away, you know, Wolsey's finished, sack bell, those readings of that noise measured the exact same level of noise from the Freo fans this year shouting Liam Henry's a waffle player. Exactly the same.
I haven't heard that. I don't think anyone's on Wolsey's back, but Peter Bell's toxic.
Oh, the whole club. Club's a basket case. It's a basket case, evidently. So... But they're on Peter Bell. They're on JL. JL and Bell got to go. You and I have been drinking the purple Kool-Aid, apparently. We copped that today. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm fine to cop it. Like, it's everyone's right. Entitled to an opinion. Like, I could be 100% wrong. And if I am, I put the hand up, 100% wrong. But you call it as you see it.
Yeah.
I drove around a bit today. I was doing a couple of deliveries, have a couple of meetings with people. So I had the trade radio again. I don't know why I'm listening to it this year. I think maybe because of the Schultz and Henry thing. You just want to find out when it's actually happening. But you know, you get these guys making commentary on Fremantle's list, on, you know, this mass exodus of players walking out the door. And, like, you hear it the second, third, fourth time.
Mm.
And then you got Damien Barrett listing off this kind of catalogue of players that apparently have left the club because of whatever, you know, it's just a conveyor belt of players walking out the door. And as they're reeling the names off, like, surely they're feeling like idiots as they read the names out. Like, half the guys are fringe AFL players.
Yep, that's exactly right.
The narrative's a joke. But it's so dumb.
How do Freo fans buy into that?
Like, yeah, exactly. Well, what Freo fan would want Rory Lobb?
Yeah.
Like, it'd have to be a minute portion of the fan base that'd say, I wish we had kept Rory Lobb.
Yep.
I mean, we already kept him 1 year beyond what he wanted to be here anyway.
That's right.
Like, we held him to an extra year of his contract when he didn't want to be here.
No.
And no one wanted him here.
And the thing was, when... Because you say, how are you going to replace 35, 36 goals or whatever? A Jai Omer steps in and kicks 40. Like, it's not only that what you lose, it's what you can find out through necessity and through, you know, like, through development. So it's worked out perfectly for us, for Rory Lobb going.
What, I don't know if it's worked out perfectly. I think in an ideal world, you'd have Liam Henry signed on good terms. And in an ideal world, you'd have Lachie Schultz. He would have been signed up. Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. Well, you just said goals walking out of the club. Oh, you meant Lobb the year before.
I meant Lobb the year before. Yeah.
But the guys that left, that story is an absolute furphy. Like, it's absolute garbage. The narrative's wrong. And anyone who's going to say that Peter Bell doesn't know what he's doing and he's ruining the club, like, he may well be. Like, I'm not saying he's not. Like, go for him.
Yep.
But don't go for him over the fact that Rory Lobb, Darcy Tucker, Griffin Logue, like, these guys that have left the club.
Yep.
Don't go for him over that, because that's got nothing to do with it.
No. And the other thing is, you know, when they go all the way back to Lachie Neale and Lachie Weller, and there were reasons for that, but they weren't even in this
Well,
era.
If Lachie Weller didn't want to leave.
No, he didn't want to leave. He had to go $1 million a year. You know,
no, but I mean, for pick two and Andy Brayshaw, name me someone who wouldn't drive him to the airport.
This is what I was thinking today, is that these trades with Schultz and Henry going today, and everyone's either going off their heads or cheering on or whatever. You're not going to find out until a few couple of years' time. You know, because you want to know what we're going to do with the picks that we got for them. How are they going to go at their respective clubs, you know, in years to come? So you can jump up and down, but nobody really knows at the moment.
The thing that kind of guides me on how upset I should be is kind of the pushback that we saw publicly from Freo. And there was like a mild little nudge of, he's under contract, we'll happily have him back.
Yep.
But no one built a brick wall up and saying, we're not taking calls, go, you know, stick it up your jumper.
Mm.
Like, there was none of that.
No.
There was just like, well, this is kind of what we want. So, as soon as you can put a price on someone, like, internally, they'd be disappointed to lose him, but I think they'd be quietly happy with the return they got from the trade, right?
On Henry?
On Schultz.
Oh, sorry, Schultz.
I'm jumping around.
Yeah, I thought we were still on.
It's an emotional day.
It is. I couldn't. You'd have to be happy. See, this is where the day balanced out. We got unders on Henry. We got overs on Schultz. I reckon pick 34 this year and a first rounder. I think even if Schultz wanted to stay and Collingwood come along and bang that offer down on the table, you could argue you've got to end the discussions. You know, Schultz, you still want to keep Schultz, but you couldn't let that go without discussing it. That's how good an offer I reckon it was.
Graham Wright, I heard an interview with him, and he's the let's see, the GM at Collingwood, he was saying that he didn't think up until 2 weeks ago it was an opportunity to get Schultz there until he entered unrestricted free agency at the end of next year.
Is that right?
So, it's all come about pretty late.
Yeah. So, it tells you they've had a big opinion of it. And, I mean, you must have to part with what you have. But I just think this whole Schultz deal has worked out so much better for us than I thought it would. I think I honestly believe we got big overs, and I don't want to, and that's not denigrating Schultzy, but I just think for what he is, a first rounder and pick and a effectively a second rounder this year, I'm pretty happy with it, JoJo.
Well, if he's going to go, he's going to go.
That's right.
And if that's your return on it, I'm with you as well. I don't really know what people are complaining about or what you expect the club to do.
Yeah.
Like, if it's then like a bigger conversation around club culture and, whether anyone wants to be there, that's fine. Mm. And I reckon we covered that in the last pod. I don't think there's anything to worry about there at all.
Absolutely nothing.
So, players come and go. You know, good player. Taylor Adams wanted out. Wanted out of Collingwood, to go to Sydney. He called. You know, he did it all personally. He went around his agent and set the whole thing up himself.
Is that right?
So, well, and the premiers and the feel good club, the happy club, Darcy Moore always tells us all about it. You know, and he wants out of that club. So that's every right. club loses guys every now and then.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're going to start questioning Collingwood's culture now. So, although we have been for a while, went to Gowie in Bali.
Do you know, Schultz has always been valued at Frio.
Like, absolutely.
And I think he got a high level of appreciation for his performance this year, his commitment to the jumper, his commitment to the club, and each and every game, the way he put his body on the line. But his elevation to superstar status in the last 2 weeks almost got a bit much for me. Right? He's on the front page of the Herald Sun. You got people saying he's a top five player down at Frio. I just can't buy that at all.
Yeah.
You might go off your Doig results and say, what did he finish? Equals six, I think, and one point off fifth this year. But I don't know. To say he's a top five player, I think maybe get him into top 10 on form. Yeah. But even then, in terms of... in terms of performance, you'd get him probably into top 10. But in terms of importance, he'd be struggling to push top 15 for me.
In the league?
Like for how we're building a premiership side, how we're building a long-term, sustainably successful side. In terms of top 15 most important players at the club.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be around that mark.
Yeah, I'd probably have him maybe a little bit higher than that. But I get what you're saying. I agree with you in the sense that this all come about in this year. Like we got a pick, a first rounder and a second rounder largely for what he did this year, not what he did previously. Because you're right, he's just been elevated, rightly or wrongly, to this superstar status that I'm not sure it's probably correct.
Okay, I got a test for you.
Yeah.
Jaimus or Lachie Schultz? Which one would you rather lose?
This would be the only test I ever pass. Jaimus by a million miles.
Okay. Andy Brayshaw or Lachie Schultz?
Yeah, Andy Brayshaw.
Heath Chapman, Lachie Schultz.
I'm going Chappy.
Jordan Clark, Lachie Schultz.
Jordan Clark.
Brennan Cox?
Coxie, yep. Oh, you're going to be right.
Sean Darcy?
Darcy, yes.
Neil Erasmus? That'll be a bit of a tougher one for you.
On Schultz, he's 25.
You've got to take it in balance. Who's you thinking about the future? You're thinking about everything. Who's more important to the club, Lachie Schultz or Neil Erasmus?
No, Erasmus.
Luke Jackson?
Oh, every day of the week.
Matt Johnson?
Same. What are we up to? How many?
That's nine.
Nine.
Luke Ryan.
Oh, no, you're going to be right. Luke Ryan.
Caleb Sarong.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's 11. Who else you got?
Switkowski.
Ooh. No, on a par with Schulte.
Yep.
I'd probably take Schulte.
Josh Tracy.
I'm probably going to take Schulte.
Yep. Michael Walters.
Oh,
probably take Schultz again, just because of the fact he's not got long left.
Yeah, we're talking future. Yep.
Hayden Young.
Oh, no, that's 12, Hayden Young.
That's 12. So I didn't give you Alex Pierce, I don't think. Left a couple out.
Yeah.
But I reckon that's 12 guys. Later, Mazaire, you're having them. They're way more important to the club than what Schultz is.
I think you're right.
Freddie left him out as well. Like, there's a bunch of guys in that bracket.
Yeah.
I reckon, like, from about 13 to 18 in terms of where they lie in terms of importance to the club and where we're going.
Yeah.
And Schultz is in that bracket.
He's in that bracket. You're right.
So, if you think that kind of player in our club setup is worth more than a first-round pick and a second-round pick, I think you're dreaming.
Yeah. And then we're done. There's a dozen. There's a dozen players, you know. He's probably at the dozen level, at the end of the dozen. So,
and then further from that, so if you can trade out a guy like that and they contribute pretty meaningfully to bringing in a guy that you can tack onto that first group and make it 13, you do that every day of the week.
Of course you do.
Like, I'm not saying they wanted to do it, but I'm saying it's going to end up being advantageous to the club, the return they get, because it's going to allow them to add more to the top end.
That's right. And what's a – who – whenever is a club like Freo – is at the moment, when you reel off those names that you did and the ones you left out, when is a club like that with an age profile of, what, 24 across the board, something like that, 23 and a bit, when do they get three in the same push for a premiership, the following year they get three first rounders? Like,
well, you got to deal with the cards you're dealt, don't you, and make the best of it. And it thinks, you know, it looks like from that trade we saw at the very first day of trade week where we nabbed Port Adelaide's future first, which I don't understand why they did that either. Like, they're struggling to get Radaglia in. Surely Geelong would have just said yep to the future first, and they could have traded that rather than the pick they got.
So how did we get that? How did we get Port's first?
We packaged up our was it pick 21? Whatever.
Oh,
it was,
that's right.
The first to the second round. Yep. North Melbourne pick.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but I reckon the thing for us is the fan base is getting tired of hearing about the age. And I get that because it's all anyone banged. That's all we banged on about last year, because it's kind of all we had, right? That's all we got to talk about is the age profile, how we were far more inexperienced in terms of games played, age, all the rest of it than our opponents. Like, people don't want to hear it. But the thing is, where do you want to be as a club?
Yeah.
Like, and then it goes back to the same old thing. Like, are we going to rebuild properly, or are we going to look for players that are played 4 or 5 years elsewhere, 20, 24, 25, whatever, and come in and have an immediate impact, and we'll get to the middle, we'll play finals, we'll lose in the second week of the finals, and we'll do it all again the year after. Mm. Like, we're going for something greater. But I think the thing is, this year, and the way that Peter Bell's been portrayed, not only in the media, but the way he's being spoken about by a lot of the fan base at the moment as well, the heat is going to come on Peter Bell, and in turn, to Justin Longmuir, who's out of contract at the end of next year. They'd want to get some results early in the year, because the pressure will come, because it's a narrative that's kind of started now. It'll drive through the off season, and if they don't get results to start the new season, like, the West Coast story is old in Perth. Like, no one wants to listen to about you know how crap West Coast are. If Freo don't deliver next year, those guys are going to be on the back page of the paper, I reckon.
Yeah, unless Michael Pryor keeps his commentary going.
No. It was bloody unfair. Why should they have to play a team that won the flag last year?
Devastating.
Hey. Shouldn't they just play the teams that finished like second last, third last, fourth last, and fifth last three times each?
And that's it. Yeah, that's right. No, you're absolutely right. But I'm still like,
I'm not saying that pressure's deserved either.
No, that's what I mean. I'm living in the real world where.
Yeah,
we know what we're doing. We know how hard it is to do what we want to do with, again, we don't want to mention age and youngsters, whatever. The pressure will come purely because that's an institutional thing. But
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what I was talking about last pod. I reckon, And I don't know, it's probably not the right word, but I think you get what I mean in terms of like the ruthlessness, how disciplined we've been.
Yep.
And it's kind of selfless to an extent with JL because he's made the finals. He's won a final. He got us all the way to you know, the pointy end of September a couple of years ago with a team that included guys that are seasoned AFL players that got us there.
Yes.
That all contributed strongly towards getting us there. He agreed or was in, you know, he's on the same page with what we were doing with getting rid of Lobb, getting rid of Akers, you know, letting Griffin Logue walk to a better opportunity and not overpaying him, believing in the long-term vision of how this list was going to be built, where the core of the team was going to come from. He's put his career on the line, essentially.
His reputation.
In trusting and hoping that this will build out for his club.
Yeah.
Obviously, he has a lot of love and love for his club, hoping that we can do it the right way and end up with something great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what you just wonder why, you know, all for our fans can't see that. And again, we might be wrong, but that looks the obvious take. Is that he could? They wouldn't have done this if Bell and Longmuir wouldn't have agreed to it. So they've sat down and gone, this is the path we need to go down, and it's going to get rough and it's going to get hard and it could get nasty, but if we get it right, we set this club up for a decade. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and I think we're really at the point. Now, the tipping point is to whether people survive or whether they don't survive.
Yep.
Like these are the rough seas.
They really are. Yeah. It's I mean, me personally, I believe we'll improve a bit next year on what we did this year. I mean, I think we have to do that. But I'm not thinking next year's our year. You know, I still think it's, you know, 2-3 years down the track. So I still think
it'll be enough. If we make the 8 next year, that'll be enough.
That'll be enough. That's right. That's exactly right. And pretty much we have to, that's really what you've got to get back to. If we can sneak into the 8, that'll be enough for fans to say, okay, we were there 2 years ago. We can now see the trajectory again. We're back on trend. So I would hope that's what they would see. So.
The other thing about these draft picks they've traded in, you got to remember with the way the AFL works now, those draft picks can be traded up until and on draft night. So something could still happen with those draft picks, even moving up or doing something into this year's draft, even after trade period's finished. There's a lot of utility with holding future picks. So,
okay. What do you think? Are you thinking they're going to throw a couple at West Coast?
Oh, I don't know if we have that, but... Yeah. We're in a good position.
We're in a great position.
We've got capital, we've got assets now. And when you've got assets in the bank, if an opportunity presents itself, you're in a good position to make a well thought through decision without having to go and, you know, sell the farm quickly to try and get everything you need. We've got it in the cupboard ready to go. But so
isn't the position we're in, wouldn't you much rather be in this position with have three first rounders, a war chest full of picks, future picks. You'd rather have that in the position we're in than if you're right in or on the other end of the premiership window. Because you could build you could build something astonishing with what we've got now, with the players that we've got on our list. And I mean, you got to fit them all in. You got to get them under the salary cap. You got to do whatever. But you just don't get a team that's in the position we're in, as I said earlier. Then to still have the picks you've got, it's a masterstroke in some potential masterstroke. So exciting, Jojo.
I think it is, and I think again, like looking at it in context, from where we came from when Ross and Steve Rossich left to the new administration, they had to reset what we were doing.
Yep.
You know, we were heading in one direction. They had to turn the wheel and recalibrate. And it's a fair effort to get to where we are now.
It's a
and
huge
I,
effort.
I don't – no, no. And you don't know the true sentiment of Freo fans, but you can read the temperature online. Hmm. And I don't think that this seems like it's the kind of popular opinion online. I think there's very much disappointment around Schultz.
Yep.
And he will. He'll go to the Magpies and he'll be their best small forward.
Oh, he'd be great for him. Yeah.
And that's not going to help Belly and JL either.
No, that's right. That's right. But I tell you, it's just, as we said, like, this could work so much more in our favour if we're prepared to be a little bit patient.
So, well, and these big decisions, the ones that have really hurt, have generally come back in our favour.
That's right. They have too, haven't they? That's exactly,
you know, right. We've already spoken about the Chera one. You know, you look at Lachie Weller, who no one really wanted to lose Lachie Weller at the time. Until we got pick number two. Yeah. And
Andy Brayshaw.
And drafted the AFL MVP from two seasons back.
We didn't want to lose Brad Hill.
No.
You know,
until we realised we were getting that pick. Yeah. I think we've got a pretty good record of when we're losing high quality assets, high quality players. Yeah. Of in more recent times, being able to turn that situation around into our favour.
Well, you've got, I think what you've got to be able to say is that we've got a pretty good team down there that can identify talent in the draft. So it gives you a bit of confidence, you know.
I reckon there's any chance that we use three first round picks next year.
No, I don't.
We've almost moved past the point where where it's beneficial to use those picks, to be honest, because we're already seeing with Johnson and Erasmus, we don't have a massive amount of opportunity to expose these guys to AFL footy and put them in. I mean, like, you're trying to find a spot for some of these guys as it is. So, you're looking to add to your top end with that. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, definitely. So, but I mean, it's to have that currency to be able to do this at this time with the list we've got, that's what's impressive. Yeah. So tell me this, right? Who, if it's not Logan McDonald, who are you looking at or who are you looking for?
I was trying to think about that. I mean, the other guy that's been mentioned that, you know, is Jamari Youlhagen, but I'm not sure if you get him out of Victoria, like a Victorian kid out of Victoria who's going to get just as much money from every single other Victorian club
that's right.
offered to him. I don't know. It is. It does seem like it's Logan McDonald. And there is the connection there to Frio. Like we spoke about last pod, the tracking of him through from his draft year through to now.
Yeah.
It kind of would almost come as a shock if it's not a move for him.
Granger Barras?
Yep. That is possible, but you wouldn't have to pay up for him.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, you wouldn't be paying up for him.
No.
So, you're not going to need a whole suite of first-round picks to get him back. I don't think so. Yeah. But, I wouldn't mind seeing him. But, you know, we've seen recently how particular they are with the kids. And, like, I know firsthand how much due diligence they do. You know, just seeing how Hugh Davies was picked. You know, they obviously knew Liam very, very well by the time he was put through the NGA and then matched the bid on him.
I
don't know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Denver Granger Barras, but they've got obviously got very particular things they're looking for in players.
Yeah.
And
well, put it this way, where's our need? Like, if we want to take that next step,
it's key forward.
It is key forward.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
So then it's got
key forward and then maybe some pace and difference through the midfield.
Yeah.
That seems, I know we put Hayden Young through there and he did a bit for us, but if I was looking to add to our core group of players, you'd be looking to add a difference-making midfielder if you could, which probably is going to be difficult, or you'd be looking to add a high-level, high-ceiling key forward.
Yeah, okay.
Tall forward. What about you?
No, well, I'm key forward. I think it will be Logan McDonald. I think as you mentioned, but they track these players from, you know, young age and work out plans to get them back. They've done it with Jordan Clark. Jackson,
The other thing, like, players and player managers aren't completely daft. Like, the 10-year, $11 million offer came in for Aaron Norton in the offseason.
Yeah.
So, you're not putting that offer forward for them to come in and play second fiddle to Logan McDonald, eh?
That's right. That's exactly right. Does it
the message is sent loud and clear. He got left out of the grand final team last year.
Yep.
And then further from that, they've gone and offered an absolute bucket load of cash to someone to come in and take his spot, but play as the number one forward.
Tell me this: was that done because they know they were losing him? Or
That's what you'd love to know, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
what you'd love to know: whether they value him or whether they know he's going.
Mm.
Either which way, though, It doesn't read well for him at Sydney.
No, that's right. But you would like to know if that's the player we're going after. Like, yeah. Do we value him higher than, you know, Sydney do? Or, you know, they don't let too many get away from Sydney, do they?
No, but the other thing about Sydney is, and we spoke about this again as well, like, they don't really have a good record of developing a key forward, do they?
Well, except their academy.
But in terms of that full forward, they're more interested in the headlines and, you know, there's substance to every single player they've bought in.
Yep.
No, they've all been really good for them, obviously. Lockett, Hall, Buddy.
Yeah, it's true.
Kappa. Like, all of them. But they're not interested in, okay, you're going to get to learn Logan McDonald from the age of 17. We're going to bring him up.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem to be their vibe. Their vibe is like, we've signed Aaron Norton. He's a superstar from Melbourne. Yeah. He's going to come in and lead the line for us. Like, that's their go.
Yeah, and it's been successful, hasn't it? It's been highly successful.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, yeah. So, but yeah, you'd like to know. When you got a contact at Sydney, you got contacts everywhere. Find out something, Jason.
Sydney. See, we'll message Gus.
There you go. Yeah, you got Gussie there. Can you give him a bell? So,
do you know another one of our kids? Looks like he's going to be pretty decent next year in the 18s for WA. Austin van der Struff coached him in year 10.
Really?
So could have one more.
Two. You got,
and that'll be the end of the line.
Two out of your stable. Got to the top line.
The stable.
Jeez.
That kid was unreal. He played first aid in footy and I was coaching the 10As. We used to rotate around the teams.
Yeah.
And he got dropped for a week.
Yeah.
And they'd just been playing him in a forward pocket because he was year 10 playing up in first aid in with all the older kids.
Yep.
So he came back here down to the 10s. I told him, just run around. Don't worry about picking anyone up. Get forward of the footy. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
He must have had 50 touches, kicked 5 goals. It's the only game we won for the year. 5, I think.
Is that right? What's his name?
Yeah. Austin.
Austin.
Van der Struff.
Van der Struff.
Yeah.
Get ready on it. Ready? Get on it. So. Have you got ready, by the way? Did you get him on?
Mate, he's not into it. He's not interested. Jeez. I reckon our best bet is to maybe get him to do a written. Maybe he can do some written stuff. Even then, like, he should just do it for himself. People would love if he put out like a little draft guide.
Yes.
For the West Australian kids.
Yep.
Come up with your own little your own thing, your own channel. People would love
it. They would love it.
Docker fans would love it for sure.
I would love it because I'd use it.
Plagiarize the hell out of it.
I'd steal it. So yeah. Do that.
Do you know the other thing, I'm not sure if you want to talk about this or not, but
no, great. Hang on.
Yeah, I don't think you probably won't, but I'm just gonna bring it up anyway. Yeah. It's like we every year in Sir Doug Nicholls round we bring up about how Fremantle Dockers have got this proud Indigenous heritage.
Yep.
And you think back from the years we started up the club, we've always had such strong Indigenous representation.
Yep.
In our playing group. And not just the guys that are at the bottom of the list that we hope come on. These are guys that are like central to the team.
Yeah.
You know, first 22, 23 players.
But don't we hold the record for the most Indigenous kids in a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think also maybe even hold the record for streaks in terms of Indigenous players being selected as well.
Yeah.
Could be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure it was a pretty lengthy streak of always having an Indigenous representation in our team.
Yep. Yeah, and or is.
Well, look at our list now. This offseason, we've lost Nathan Wilson, Joel Hamling, and Liam Henry. The only two Indigenous guys that are going to be representing, or you would think there are any real material chance of representing Fremantle in the AFL next year, are Sonny Walters and Alex Pearce.
Wow.
Beyond that, you got to scroll all the way down to Eric Benning, who would seem like he's a fair way off.
Yeah.
Or I think the only other Indigenous kid on the list is Conrad Williams, Category B rookie.
What about Josh Draper?
Oh, sorry, Josh Draper. Yeah. So I missed one. Yeah. But from where we've come from, there's a massive gap there, isn't there?
Is it, is it just, you know, ebbs and flows?
But I mean, the only Indigenous kids that are coming onto the list at the moment are coming through the NGA.
NGA, so we're not drafting them. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, we haven't drafted any for a while. But, I mean, there's a thing. I mean, people wonder why Liam left. You know, having coached at a junior level, a lot of the Indigenous kids like to have other Indigenous kids around.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, Yeah. So that could be- just something that I noticed. You look through the past, you know, we've just had, you know, a full cohort of Indigenous representation, and it's as light on as it's ever been, surely, at the moment.
It'd have to be, wouldn't it? Actually, I never never really thought about that, but you probably got... Yeah, so we've only got really Michael Walters and Alex Pierce, and Walters, what, probably got...
Well, Draper got close. I think he was an emergency.
He was too,
wasn't he? So you never know, he might get a Guernsey, but even so, like, it's still...
Yeah, it's a lot...
nowhere near what it was.
Yeah, exactly. We're usually a lot more... we've got a lot more running around, haven't we? Well, Liam Henry going to Saints. I don't know how the Saints track in that.
Well, he's got immediately. You got Brad Hill and Alera in his same area of the ground.
Yeah,
I can't even think of who's on their list at the moment. Yeah. But yeah.
Mm. Okay.
I think Brad Hill. You know, Sonny Walters was amazing for Liam at Freo.
Oh, huge.
But I mean, you think about the age gap and generation gap there. Like, it's pretty significant.
Yeah. Yeah. And wasn't Liam?
We used to have to warn the Indigenous kids at Christchurch. They just kicked to one another. Him and Izzy.
Him and Izzy.
They just kicked the ball to each other.
Is that right? Is that so? There is that natural connection, and that they.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's something to think about, isn't it? When you
a little bit. Mm. Yeah. Well, if you're looking to attract a kid of Indigenous descent.
Yep.
To the club, I mean, it'd be something to look at, surely.
Had we gone after Cozzy Pickett, would Liam have stayed? I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. The Cozzy Pickett one's weird, isn't it? Melbourne's trying to bring in McAdam now as well.
Oh, is that right?
Everyone wants these pressure forwards, small pressure forwards. Yeah. We're letting them walk out the door. It's a big season for Tommy Emmett.
It is. Tommy Emmett will get it done. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, unless we get any other trades done, we might take a little break from the pod for a week.
Thank goodness.
You do feel as though there could be something, though. There could be something.
There's something coming. There's something brewing.
Well, Peter Bell went over to Melbourne, didn't he, on the weekend? And they were saying to sort out these two trades or to help assist in sorting out these two trades. But you would imagine if they got done, by lunch on Monday morning, they were a fair way down the road anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
These two particular trades.
Mm.
Because there was nothing new that was in the cupboard for either Collingwood or St Kilda to pass on to us. Like, they weren't relying on another deal to get done.
No, that's right.
Or anything like that to pass on what they've passed on to us. So, be interesting. Good big watch Tuesday and Wednesday to see if anything happens. But, until there's any more news, are you still down with the re-stump?
It's all up in the air. I need to renegotiate my contract. The 5-year extension I signed, I need it reduced to 6 months.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah,
start wearing purple.